To succeed, I never look at the clock. This is Dr. Herbert Elbarly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. To succeed, I never look at the clock. It is so easy for us to look at the clock. It's so easy for us to see what time things are being done in, to see how things are being done and where things are being done. It's so easy to be aware of these things and have them limit us. You see, the wonderful thing about success and the wonderful thing about making achievements is that the moment we make the achievement, we're not really aware that we have made the achievement. We surprise ourselves by the fact that the achievement has been done. We are not really aware that we have been working on it. We're not aware that we have put this cause in motion. We're not aware that the result has finally come. It's finally been done. And all of a sudden, there it is. Surprise, surprise. And now why is that? Because success happens in an instant. And if we ever look at a clock and determine how we're going to take time to do something or take time to think something, then it never happens. You want to have success in writing a story, in writing a book, writing poetry. You want to have success in doing some graphic arts. You want to have success in working in your garden. You want to have some success in working in your house, in cleaning up your house. You say, well, I want to clean the whole house from step to top to bottom, stem to stern, and I want to do the whole thing in a beautiful way. But man, where am I going to get the time from? How can I accomplish it? Well, when you look at the clock, it seems like an intolerable task, a completely unable thing for you to do in the amount of time you have available. However, when you just go and do it and don't think a thing about it and don't even think that you're doing it while you're doing it, it is done before you even know you had begun. It's a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing. I've experienced it so many times myself that it just sort of gives me a delight each time I realize that I've done it without even thinking about it, without even taking any time to do it. I just did it. They say, if you have something that you need some help with, or if you need something done, ask a busy person to do it. Because a busy person doesn't have time to waste time on nothingnesses, on triviality. A busy person gets going and does it. I have a lot of friends who love to talk philosophy. They love to think philosophy and share philosophy and dream philosophy and sort of wonder how philosophy, that is, how a particular concept reveals itself. And every time we think about it at all, we come to the conclusion that the conclusion has been arrived at without our knowing that we were even thinking about it. And every time we think about something, we complicate it, and we make it so complex and so confusing that we don't accomplish anything at all. Now, this is done in so many ways. Now, just look at Einstein. Einstein thought of the theory of relativity way back in 27. He was very interested in it, and he thought it was a fascinating concept. Now, the theory of relativity had no reality in any of the sciences up to that time. None of the physics programs brought forth a possibility of an answer. In fact, even today, it boggles the mind of many scientists as they think about it. Now, the first thing that happened after Einstein came up with this thought was that people, other scientists, did their very utmost to prove that it was not true. Now, this seems like a lot of wasted energy. Rather than proving something that's not true, prove that it is true and support it, and perhaps if it was not true, it will be true because you have found evidence that leads to the fulfillment of an object without even realizing that the object didn't work. Now, this happens in a lot of areas of our life. It happens in a lot of things. I oftentimes am driving from one city to another, especially in Europe, and I'm going through these various towns and through these various communities, and after a while they become quite familiar because you drive them so often, and you don't even think about it. And you get in the car, And then, so to speak, an instant later, you get out, you have arrived at your goal. And you say, where did the time go? How did I get here? I don't remember passing all the familiar spots. I'm just here. You see, as we prepare ourselves, as we think in the now, as we live in the now, all of a sudden we start acting in the now. And we start experiencing perfect time being there. What a delightful possibility. What a marvelous thought. I was reading a book by a very famous author, and the book, I believe, is called, let's see what it is, we have a copy right here. It's called The Alchemist, and it's supposed to be one of the world-famous books, Paulo Coelho, and he's supposed to be a very remarkable writer, a very remarkable author, and the book reads well. But as I read the book, I was brought to mind on many of the modern-day authors who took part of the theme from the book and made it into their own book. They took part of the concepts of it, part of the depth of understanding, the philosophical realism, which was so beautifully portrayed there, and without really very much change, put it into their own works. And I thought, oh my goodness, my goodness. Here I was so inspired by what that author had to say, and he has virtually plagiarized it from this author here. And it made me think, my goodness, what else has he plagiarized? What else has he taken? What beautiful concepts? Where am I to go back to these beautiful concepts and what they are? Well, when you think about success, you don't think about those things. You just think about what it is you want to project. I have so many people reading my writings, and they say, gosh, that's great stuff. I really appreciate that. That's my type of thing. And I say, well, take it. Take anything that I say. There's nothing that's copyright on anything that I say as far as the ideas are going. And maybe the style of writing and so forth is my style, and it's not your style. But take the idea. Take the idea and put it in your own words, put it in your own feeling. I know I had the audacity when I was working as associate editor of the Science Mind magazine, and I had to do the works on Ernest Holmes' writings. And I had to go through his tapes and his wire recordings and transcribe them and put them down on paper. And I thought, man, this is good stuff. Wonderful. What a mind. What a beautiful consciousness. And then the thought came, I can do just as well myself. And so I started writing from my own idea of the concepts that he was presenting and putting them forth. And, you know, it really didn't turn out too well, because everything that I had written and all of the things that I had read that Dr. Holmes had done, I started to plagiarize him. I started to take his ideas and put it in my paper under my title, and that was not correct. And I wrote virtually 30 chapters of something in preparation on that. And after I had finished doing that, I said, this is pure science of mine. This is pure Ernest Holmes. This is not something that I have come up with, not some new attitude that I have come up with. I have just taken what he has taken and put my name on it. I can't do that. And I threw out the works. I threw it away, not because it wasn't good, but because it was somebody else. We each have a genius within us. And the more we read other people's writings, the more we read other people's ideas and concepts, and the more we are smitten by what other people have done so well. And then we attempt to do it ourselves, and we attempt to do it, and what happens? We are copying them. I had a wonderful friend one day. He was writing a book, and he told me that he was writing this book, and he was doing so well with it and so happy. And I told him, I said, I just published my book. Would you like to read it? And he says, yes, but not now. I don't want to read it before I do my own writing, because I want my writing to be mine. I might be inspired by some of the things that you say, by some of the ways in which you say things, and some of the beautiful illustrations you use. It might make me want to take them into my writing, but I have lots of my own. I have my own way of approaching my subject, my own way of writing my style, and that's me. And I said, you know, you are a remarkable man. You are a remarkable man. You are able to stand forth in the midst of wonderful writing all around you by many various people who write down the style that you want to write down, and you will not read it because you want to express how you want to express it. I say applause, applause. I admire you 100%. You will be a success because you have already got success right within you. And his books were very nice. He did a good job. Now, we too can do a good job. We too can produce something rather remarkable if we will just not look at the clock, not look at other people's writings, not look at other people's concepts and worlds, but look into our heart and say, now, what do we want to say? What is it that is so vital for us to express? How do we want to communicate with the world around us, with the elders and the youngers and the mids? And how do we want to tell them our story? And then as we do that, the door opens with us to have all sorts of ideas and concepts and illustrations that nobody else has, because they're ours. They're ones that we have experienced, and we write about them in our personal quality that shows that they really were something we experienced and not just something that we heard somewhere else. This is an art. This is the act of genius. This is a wonderful expression. This is what leads to success. When we don't look at the clock, don't look at other people's writings, just look in our heart and follow it 100%. Have a great day. I love you. I love you. I love you.